This is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown. Former U.S. President Donald Trump pleaded not guilty Thursday to charges that he tried to overturn the 2020 election. AP correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
Donald Trump has answered for the first time to federal charges that accuse him of orchestrating a failed attempt to block the peaceful transfer of presidential power. Trump appeared in a Washington federal courthouse 2 days after being indicted on 4 felony counts. The charges accuse him of trying to subvert the will of the voters and undo his election loss in the days before January 6, 2021, when supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol in a violent and bloody clash with law enforcement. Trump is facing charges that include conspiracy to defraud the United States and obstruct Congress's certification of President Biden's victory. Mike Hemp in Washington.
As West African states consider intervening in Niger's to restore democracy about a week after a military coup, Niger's ruling junta and civil society groups have called on citizens to fight for the country's freedom against foreign interference. We get more from AP correspondent Karen Chamas.
Down with France, long live Niger, were some of the chants that bellowed out from a rally in Niger's capital, Niamey. The march falls on the West African nation's day of independence from its former colonial ruler, France, amid a spike in anti-French sentiment. Protesters were seen waving Russian flags during the protest. One civil society coordinator told the AP they want the immediate departure of all foreign forces. France has 1,500 soldiers in Niger who conduct joint operations with its military. Niger was seen by the West as a key strategic partner in the fight against jihadis linked to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State in the West African Sahel region. I'm Karen Chamas.
And for more news, join us at voanews.com. This is VOA News. The U.S. Justice Department announced Thursday the arrest of two U.S. Navy sailors on charges of passing sensitive national security material to China. Prosecutors say Jin Kao Wei and Zhao Wenhing have been charged with passing the secret photos, videos, and technical manuals to China in exchange for thousands of dollars. Both were charged with espionage. U.S. Attorney for the Southern California area, Randy Grossman, whose office handled the arrest, said the two men betrayed their duty as U.S. servicemen.
We have entrusted members of our military with tremendous responsibility and great faith. Our nation's safety and security are in their hands. When a soldier or sailor chooses cash over country and hands over national defense information in an ultimate act of betrayal, we have to be ready to act. And that's exactly what we have done here.
The United States is praising Kenya's interest in leading a multinational force in Haiti just weeks after openly warning Kenyan police officers against violent abuses. Now 1,000 of those police officers might head to Haiti to take on gang warfare. Kenya's police have long been accused by rights groups of killings, and torture. The U.S. military may put armed troops on commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz. We get more from AP correspondent Shelley Adler.
The U.S. military is considering putting armed personnel on commercial ships traveling through the Strait of Hormuz to stop Iran from seizing and harassing civilian vessels. That's what four American officials told the Associated Press. If implemented, it would be an extraordinary step by the Pentagon. The military is dealing with a renewed effort by Iran to harass and seize ships traveling in the Strait, which is where 20% of all the world's crude oil passes through. I'm Shirley Adler.
An appeals court is allowing a rule restricting asylum at the southern U.S. border with Mexico to stay in place, and a major win for the Biden administration. The court decided Thursday to grant the administration's request to keep its policy in place while a longer legal battle plays out over the rule's legality. The new rule makes it extremely difficult to be granted asylum unless a migrant first seeks protection in the country they're traveling through or applies online. Rights groups have sued over the new rule, saying it endangered migrants. As always, for more news, we invite you to join us at our website. That is voanews.com. Also on the VOA mobile app. I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
Thank you. Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Friday, August 4th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Former President Donald Trump pleads not guilty to charges he attempted to steal the 2020 election.
Trump shook his head to signify disagreement with allegations that he broke the law in seeking to overturn his presidential re-election defeat nearly 3 years ago.
We'll examine the historical and international implications of the event. Sierra Leone's president acknowledges logistical limitations during June elections. We'll have analysis of Kenya's offer to send police officers to Haiti. Zimbabwe's Supreme Court erased this opposition candidate's bar from contesting the August 23 elections.
At least the people of Bulawayo will be able to choose leaders of their own. It would have been a coup on the will of the people for them to be removed.
And some of your messages in honor of VOA English to Africa's 60th anniversary, those stories, plus Samson Omalley's posts are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Former U.S. President Donald Trump on Thursday entered not guilty pleas to four felony charges related to his alleged attempt to overturn his 2020 loss to President Joe Biden. On social media, Trump termed these latest charges against him election interference. Details from VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Herman in Washington.
Amid chants of lock him up outside the courtroom from a crowd of protesters and supporters, a grim-faced Donald Trump appeared before a federal magistrate. As the criminal case was read, Trump shook his head to signify disagreement with allegations that he broke the law in seeking to overturn his presidential re-election defeat nearly 3 years ago. The arraignment took place immediately after the former president was fingerprinted and booked. This is Trump's third arrest since leaving office. A state-level case in New York involves hush money payments to cover up an alleged extramarital affair before he was president. Another in Florida is a federal case brought by a special prosecutor charging the former president with crimes connected to willfully retaining classified documents he took after leaving the White House. Despite facing a total of 78 felony charges, Trump remains the overwhelming front runner for next year's Republican Party presidential nomination. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump pleaded not guilty on Thursday in a federal court located just blocks away from where his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building to try to keep him in power on January 6, 2021. Distinguished professor of history at American University, Alan Littman, tells viewers Carol Van Dam, the entire world is watching, especially in countries where democracy has been under threat.
The eyes of the world are on us, and they want to see, is the American legal system functioning to protect and defend our democracy, or will American democracy go the same way as those democracies that were lost in the 1940s?
There were several co-conspirators facing charges, too, but they were not named in this indictment. What do you think was the strategy behind Jack Smith's presentation of this indictment and leaving those names out?
I think his strategy is, by leaving them out, he leaves himself a lot of flexibility to get them to cooperate with his prosecution. That is, you know, I haven't indicted you, but cooperate and maybe you won't face the wrath of the law.
Do you think that this is going to wrap up before the presidential election?
I do believe this case will wrap up before the general election. By random selection, a very tough judge was selected, extremely tough on the small fry who, you know, actually participated in the January 6th insurrection. I think she's going to move this case quickly.
That was Alan Littman, presidential historian and distinguished professor of history at American University. He was speaking to my colleague Carol Van Dam in Washington. The Supreme Court of Zimbabwe has ruled that several opposition candidates that had been barred from running in the upcoming elections have been reinstated on the ballot. They include 12 candidates from the Citizens Coalition for Change and four others. Voters elect new parliamentarians and president on August 23rd. Rutendo Mawere has more from Harare.
delivering the judgment on Thursday in Harare, a member of the three-panel bench, Justice Lekani Mwaera, said the decision of the High Court in Bulawayo be set aside. 12 Bulawayo residents from different constituencies had approached the courts arguing that opposition political party candidates and some independent candidates had submitted their nomination papers after the 4 p.m. deadline as required by law. One of the lawyers representing Citizens Coalition for Change, Doug Coulthard, confirmed the ruling.
That decision has been set aside. Those MPs are on the ballot.
Fadzai Mahere is the acting spokesperson for the Citizens Coalition for Change.
We're relieved because at least the people of Bulawayo will be able to choose leaders of their own. It would have been a coup on the will of the people for them to be removed.
Among those allowed to compete are deputy acting spokesperson of the Citizens Coalition for Change and candidates from Bulawayo North and South constituencies, as well as those from Cowdery Park and Emakandeni Luveve. The director of information for the ruling ZANU-PF party, Farai Marapira, told VOA that the ruling is a clear indication of the independence of the judiciary. For VOA, this is Rutendo Mawere in Harare.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Friday, August 4th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. Sierra Leone President Julius Maada Bio officially opened Parliament on Thursday with a call for unity and dialogue. But as in the two previous settings, since the June 24 general elections, the opposition All People's Congress APC party boycotted the session. Colonel Ba is Sierra Leone's new Minister of Information. He tells me that President Bio acknowledged what he calls logistical limitations during the elections and called for the establishment of a committee to review the polls.
His Excellency the President's appeal for peace and national cohesion, his acknowledgement of logistical challenges that probably affected some of the operations of the Electoral Commission and other election management bodies, while making very clear, and this is important, that those challenges do not in any way but have affected the overall outcome of the results. But he said he has listened to them and is going to put forward an elections review committee to be chaired by no less a person than our distinguished vice president, but will include civil society, development partners, and a wide array of citizens to review both the legal framework on how we conduct our elections and the recommendations that have been made.
Of course, Minister, I think the president's speech was in reference to the opposition APC members of parliament, who I understand also boycotted the session. So, what do you say about that?
Well, it's important to note that following the last elections, our friends and siblings, I should say, in the opposition party have decided that the way they're going to protest was that they will not participate in the entire governance process. They have instituted what they're referring to as a boycott. So they have not been in parliament, except, of course, for one of them, the Honorable Mame Bangura, who was proudly in his partisan colors and who said that, no, even if we have disagreements, we should seek to resolve these disagreements through the laid down procedures in our constitution. That's what the president was referring to today. So, of course, I think we acknowledge our family, our folks, our friends in the opposition. And the president was saying to them that we have to act with political maturity. We have to think about the peace, the stability, and the democracy of our nation. And he was inviting them to come to the table and let's have a conversation. Let's move our country forward. You cannot take your toys and go home. This is a governance process, and you have to be part of it.
Colonel Ba is the Sierra Leone's new Minister of Information. He was speaking with us from Freetown. Kenya has offered to send 1,000 police officers to Haiti and lead a multinational effort to support the Haitian police. Fred Omolo is a journalist based in Nairobi. He tells viewers Douglas Mpuga that most Kenyans were surprised by the announcement since Kenya currently has its own security problems.
Well, there was a sense of bewilderment because we've been having our own security challenges within the country, especially if you consider the protests and all the chaos that has been happening here over the last 2-3 months. So there was a sense of bewilderment. Why deploy our troops all the way to Haiti, contain the situation there when we have our own issues here in the country? We also have our troops deployed in Somalia. Since 2011, they've never left the place. They're still stuck there in Kismayu because the Somalian government itself has requested that we continue staying there. So if we can't contain the situation in Somalia, if we can't contain the situation here in Kenya, why are we looking at, you know, international issues? While Haiti itself has neighbors that have very strong armies, the U.S. is there, and all the Dominican Republic is there.
Despite all that, some other nations are hailing Kenya's intention to send troops to Haiti, including the United States. What do you make of that?
The United States, in a way, has been aligning itself with the new government, the current government that has been in office for the last 10 months. All the signals that the current administration has been sending is that they want to re-engage with their old partners. Keen observers of the Kenya's foreign relations history understand that over the last 20 years, 15 years, Kenya has really moved east. And when I say east, I mean China, in terms of loans, in terms of partnerships, in terms of aid, in terms of infrastructure development. And that really left the U.S. out in the cold, the France, U.K., the Western axis. So right now, the new administration is kind of trying to re-engage them. So any move that looks like it's contributing to that Western sphere of influence, that Western system of governance from a former partner who moved away is kind of a plus in their eyes. And possibly that's why they are hailing the move as positive.
That was Fred Omolo, a journalist based in Nairobi. He spoke with viewers Douglas Mpuga from Kisumu, Kenya. It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. Here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you too, James. We begin the sports with the 2023 Women FIBA Basketball Championship currently holding in Kigali, Rwanda. Nigeria the Tigress took a huge step towards their fourth consecutive FIBA Women's Afrobasket title, courtesy of a 79-48 win over host Rwanda in a semi-final on Thursday. The defending champions have shown near perfection in every aspect of the game to reach their fourth final in a row as the muted off Rwanda's ambition from the tip-off. The Tigress coach Rena Wakama says the Nigerian ladies have shown resilience, confidence and determination so far in the tournament.
Okay, so I put a lot of belief in them, a lot of confidence and just a lot of teaching and building them up. Okay, and they're able to obviously do amazing things. Okay, so it has nothing to do with me, but just everything to do with them believing themselves.
In the second semifinals on Thursday, there were tears of joy as Senegal clinched the last ticket to the 2023 FIBA Women's Afrobasket Finals after a hard-fought 75-65 win over Mali. The win completes the Teranga Lionesses' bounce back from a very slow start to their campaign. Once again, Sierra Dillard, Senegal point guard, proved to be the heroine Senegal needed. With 33 points to her credit, she once again proved she is a valuable addition to the Teranga Lionesses' roster. The Senegalese are headed to the championship game on the back of a 3-game winning streak after dropping their first 2 games to Uganda and Mali. Senegal will now meet Nigeria in a remake of the 2017 and 2019 finals. Now to the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. Morocco made history on Thursday by advancing to the knockout stage of the FIFA Women's World Cup at the first attempt. In the night of breathtaking football, Anissa Lohmari scored the only goal as Morocco sealed a 1-0 Group H victory over Colombia and earned their place in the round of 16 of the Women's World Cup on Thursday, becoming the third African nation to advance past the pool stage. The Atlas Lionesses, who finished runners-up in their pool ahead of ousted pre-tournament favourites Germany, join South Africa and Nigeria in the knockout rounds and will meet France on Tuesday in Sydney. In the meantime, World Governing Body FIFA said on Friday it was investigating a misconduct complaint relating to the Zambia women's team at the World Cup, vowing tough punishment if proven. It does not provide details, citing confidentiality, but media reports said the incident involved coach Bruce Mwape allegedly rubbing a player's breasts. And now to the 2023 netball taking place in South Africa. Despite a 52-50 victory over Uganda in a Pool G match, South Africa's hopes of claiming a semi-final spot at the Netball World Cup 2023 are over. And that's it for this Friday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a nice weekend. Today, August 4th, is the 60th anniversary of VOA English to Africa. You, the listeners, have been sending us your appreciation and suggestions about our programs. Here are some of those messages.
Happy 60 years anniversary to VOA Daybreak Africa. Congratulations. My name is Bob William from Benin City, Nigeria. I've been listening to Daybreak Africa VOA since 1980. VOA Daybreak Africa always start my day. If I do not listen to Daybreak Africa VOA, then I have not started my day. Your presenters are wonderful. Talk about James Botti, Peter Clotty, Samson Omale. Oh, your wonderful sports presentation is wonderful. I'm proud of you. And you are from my country, Nigeria. VOA, you are worth celebrating. Keep it up. God is on your side.
Well, thank you very much, listener. Well, Dr. Anifio Isentag of Oyo, Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria says, congratulations, VOA English to Africa service for 60 years of a giant performance. I have been a VOA listener for over 50 years, since 1969. I remember early presenters like Yvonne Barclay, Jim Gray, Nelson Brown, Neil Levon, Jane Kelly, Walter Hill, Bill Stabler, Bill Hansen, Kay Gallant, Warren Shear, among others. These early presenters sharpened my interest in VOA news. Today, I enjoy programs like Africa News Tonight, International Edition, Encounter, and Issues in the News. I suggest that VOA should also track and air positive developmental programs in Africa. The only news we hear from Africa via VOA is war, violence, refugees, demonstrations, assassination, coups, corruption, among other negative issues. This does not reflect the correct picture of Africa. Once again, congratulations for 60 years of a giant performance. Well, we here at English to Africa thank all of you for your lovely voice and text messages about our 60th anniversary. And that's it for this Friday, August 4th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barton in Washington, wishing that you will have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday morning.